Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress. This is a bit of a different episode. We're going to do some fun stuff. We're going to get away from the usual tenor of the show. First, we're going to talk about another beer from our buddy Dave from Philly. This is the Exit 3 Blueberry Braggot Honey Ale Brewed with Blueberries. It's 15% by alcohol, by the way.
It's a 15% mouthful, by the way.
Yeah, it is. A very long name that if you drank too many of these at 15% ABV, you probably couldn't say. Now, I'm going to throw a shout out to Dave. We appreciate all. He sent us a bunch of beers, and we welcome others to do the same. Just reach out to us, Jim or Steve, at WhiskeyCongress.com. Email us. We'll find a way to make the logistics work. Dave's a friend of mine from back in the day, and there's a story between he and I about blueberry beers that I won't get into now, but I just want to acknowledge to him that I get the joke behind this. I typically do not like fruit beers. This is actually pretty good.
So it is, and you pick up on the blueberry right away, but it's not overwhelming.
Right.
And it's not too sweet.
Right? Exactly. That's why I usually don't like about the fruity beers.
It's a nice balance of, hey, the flavor is good here, along with the fact that for an ABV as high as it is, you really don't.
It doesn't taste it.
It doesn't overpower you in any way, which is amazing that they're able to pull that off.
I was actually shocked when I looked down and saw the ABV. I'm like, damn, that's stronger than almost most wines.
Right.
So thank you again. Good beer. Do you want to harp again on the shit you sent us a couple weeks ago? No.
No.
We'll be nice. So little special episode of Whiskey Congress. I do stand-up comedy, which comes up on the show on a fairly regular basis. My comedy is mocked mostly by those who've never seen me do stand-up comedy, but feel free to judge without...
What are you talking? You post videos, I watch them.
Okay, well, you watched... Those are early videos. All right, I sucked in those. I'll acknowledge that.
Okay.
The only video I think I've posted is my first or second one ever, and it was pretty awful.
According to multiple people who have seen you, you have gotten better.
Thank you.
So I believe that I haven't. And the one night that I tried, got there an hour
late. Supposedly by accident. I was really nice. The night you came out there, I was like, thanks for coming out, and you missed it. But we got to hang out with the Cleveland comedy scene, and I really enjoy that group of people. Right. One of them has been a guest on our show, and we need to maybe get a couple more. And many of them listen to the show and say they like it. So appreciate that. So anyway, we're going to do, we've done a few shows where we talk about, favorites or in different genres. And today we're going to talk about favorite comedians. So yeah. I'm excited about this. Tolerating it.
Or maybe No. You pulled it up. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a good idea. And so, do you want to go through my five and then your five?
No, let's do one back and forth.
Back and forth.
Yeah, why don't you start? Okay. So, in no particular order. These are just like.
Well, I'm going to go in my. All the way to my number one.
Deal. I'll do the same.
And I think you'll pick up on it by the time we get to like number three.
All right, you're number five.
So my number five is Bert Kreischer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love Bert.
He's great.
First of all, where I connect to him, like two of, comedy is about storytelling, and he tells two great stories.
I'm the Machine.
The Machine and the birth of his daughter, right?
Okay.
And so, obviously, I've got a daughter, and I can relate to it. And then the Machine story, while I've never been to Russia, I've got a couple stories where, it's just me, and I kind of get loose from the rest of my friends. And I'm really drunk, and I travel through like cities and places, and all sorts of shit happens. And so I will never tell those on the air just because they're
good choice. They could lead to legal charges.
Do you know?
I don't know for sure off the top of my
head. Samuel Jackson?
I know who Samuel Jackson is.
Okay, but you don't know the story that I have that relates to Samuel Jackson and my drunkenness?
It's not ringing
a
bell.
Okay, good. Then you don't know. All right, so. So I can relate to just being kind of the life of the party to the point where it's a little too much.
Okay.
But it's a funny story to other people, but then you realize, holy shit, my life was in danger. But and so I guess that's why I just connect so well with the stories that he's told. And that he's told. And a little side note that, so you know that movie Van Wilder?
I've never seen it, but I know.
Ryan Deadpool. What's his name?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. There's a movie called Van Wilder.
Yeah.
And that movie is about a kid in college who, you know, his parents, his dad's a rich lawyer, and, you know, he comes from money, and he spends, you know, 6-7 years in college partying it up. That movie is actually about Bert Kreischer.
I did not know that.
And because Bert Kreischer, like back in the 90s, was voted the number one partier at the number one party school, and someone from one of the magazines, Rolling Stone or something like that, followed him around for however long. They wrote this big thing on him. Oliver Stone, I believe, bought the rights to the movie.
Okay.
A bunch of people wrote scripts. Oliver Stone ended up, nothing happened with it. So then someone who wrote the script for him turned around, changed the name, and then sold it to National Lampoon's, or maybe they sold it to National Lampoon's. National Lampoon's changed the name. Bert was never paid for that, but he was just like, it's pretty awesome, so I don't have a beef with it. And that's kind of the story behind that movie and him. But if you see the movie, it's actually pretty funny if you can take Ryan Reynolds, who I like, but he can kind of be a little much. but so he's my number five.
There's so many stories I want to tell. He was on the Alan Cox show last year for like 3 segments, and he told so many great stories.
He's just a phenomenal storyteller.
There's a few of them. All right, so two real quick. One of them, he talks about getting his nut crushed in some accident on Bert. On Let's Kill Bert or whatever.
Yeah,
and
Let's Hurt Bert. I think it was.
And like this 17-year-old or 19-year-old paramedic girl has to inspect his nut sack that he's swollen up to the size of a softball, and that was just god awful horrible.
Well, and you, so I can relate to that. Story as well.
I know you can. Awkwardly, yes. And so he told, oh God, there were so many good stories. I'm going to skip the longer one because even though I like it, it's a long story. But the best one was he was talking about these video blogs he would do, and he went to the comic that lives out in Arizona, drawing a blank on his name, is a friend of his. He goes out to hang out with him, and they literally say the Alan Cox show. He says, "I don't think I swear on this. I should be okay." And Alan Cox is like, "If you do, I'll just dump it." Second word, "I'm fucking here." And like, they didn't dump it in time, and they all lost. I'm like, "Fuck, second word." And they say, "Fuck, I can't." Right. They can't. Like, second word. They weren't even fast enough on the dump right. button because they were told it probably won't happen. Oh, it was great. There's again, I could talk for Bert Kreischer about Bert Kreischer. He's not on my list. My number five is Kurt Metzger. I love Kurt Metzger. I think Kurt Metzger is the best comic that no one knows about. So you do.
I do.
What's your reaction to Kurt Metzger? I think he's hilarious. He's also a great storyteller. He's very controversial. He's gotten in a lot of trouble because he was a writer for the Amy Schumer show. And he's a hothead. He's actually from Cleveland.
Yes.
Or from the Cleveland area.
Right. Is it Euclid or
I think it is Euclid. Yeah. It's somewhere on the east side.
So he is funny. He's just one of those guys. To me, that sometimes he pushes it a little too far.
Oh, he definitely definitely pushes the limits.
And for me, like when you push it too far and it's not funny, it's a big turnoff, and it's hard to get me back. And it's not that you push it too far and I'm offended; it's just that I get annoyed, right? Because it's just like, oh, you were going down such a good path, and then you go stupid. So now you've probably offended someone in here. Right, and they're going to be turned off. So then I may have to hear how they were offended, and that's just not right. And you have now ruined my night in some way, shape, or form because you took a fucking joke too far.
He's got some stories. He does a story where
a lot of his stories are just based on his experiences living in New York.
Right,
right. I mean, like just some of the shit that goes on that you just deal with every day, which is hilarious. But then he pushes it to a point where it's like,
he's also caused himself a ton of trouble on social media.
Yes.
And he's actually gotten off of it, and I've heard him tell stories about it. And I think he is
Very well, because and I picked up on him from you.
Okay.
From Race Wars. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And because I did listen to it. I didn't listen to it as religiously as you did, but I would listen to it because I thought it was a good learning.
Schwarzwald and Kurt Metzger had a great vibe.
Right. Their energy and everything else. So is that show still on?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh right. I
there's so much out there. Yeah. I don't listen to it. I used to listen to it religiously. Like new episode. I'm listening now. I listen to it most of the time,
which worries me because we have a podcast. I don't want people fading out. But anyway,
true. We don't fade out, Steve.
We do not. But no, that's why I listen to him. So I mean, he is funny, but he sometimes he does go too far,
definitely.
And
oh,
even
definitely.
With the race stuff with which Sherrod Small, it's just like I don't know if I could be him.
Well, you know their ritual. Mm-mm. So we have a rule on our show, right? If someone says the word nigger, I'm not supposed to abbreviate it. I say the actual word. They have the same rule, but they every show, Sherrod jams his dick up against Kurt's shoulder to grant him the right to say that. Mm. And that they do the whole He-Man, I have the power. I do not want that translating to our show.
Well,
and it will not.
It won't.
It will not. But anyway,
we can
agree.
We can fist pound on that
deal. Yeah, we saw
my
this
dick
much.
Won't be anywhere near your shoulder.
Awesome.
Intentionally.
All right. So anyway, I think Kurt Metzger is hilarious. If I'm going to recommend one, he does a joke. If you YouTube Kurt Metzger White Precious, that joke is hysterical. He talks about how he fights with a fat white woman over a cab, and then realizes he's got a shit ton of weed on him, so he better not continue to fight. Great, great story joke. I won't go any further with that. You're number four.
My number four. This one is probably going to surprise you a ton. Russell Peters.
That does surprise me a ton.
Yeah, Russell Peters.
He's funny as hell.
He's hilarious. If you don't know who he is, he's
Indian.
He's Indian born from Canada. His dad was a like a Canadian meat inspector.
I did not know that.
And a lot of his comedy talks just about, you know, the Indian experience in Canada. And then one of my big draws to him is that he is so he is a DJ in Canada and he's a huge hip hop head. Like he knows hip hop inside and out. And he talks about being Indian, loving hip hop in Canada, which there's so like the contrast there is so hilarious. Now I can't relate to it because I'm not Indian. I've never lived in Canada, but I can only imagine. And that shit is just fucking hilarious to me. And it just
straight out of Mississauga was not a big hit.
Right. And just like, and he's a bigger guy. I think he's about 6'2".
Oh, I didn't know that
a little
either.
Bit taller. And his delivery is great. His storytelling is great, which is kind of, I think, a theme with any good comic. And, he stands out to me in a way that, because you could tell that he's hyper-intelligent, and sometimes he dumbs it down, but he's just a fun guy. And part of that, I think, is from him being a DJ, knowing how to get a crowd to move.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And so he can do that. With his words and with his storytelling, which I think is just great. So I'm a big fan of his. He has one skit where I forget where he's performing somewhere. I think it's New York. And I'm sure he's probably done it in other cities. But what the special that I saw, he's telling his jokes and he's talking about hip hop. And he talks about how he wanted to like get into breakdancing. And he's got a DJ there, and so they start playing a hip hop beat, and he goes in like he's about to start breakdancing. And then he tells the story of how like he started and almost broke his neck. And it just, you know, kind of like erk. And it just like and it's a great story. So I'm a big fan of Russell Peters, huge. Like whenever he's in the area, I will definitely make an effort to go see him.
Whenever he pops up on satellite radio, I listen to him every time.
God,
he is great. I respect that choice. You're right though. It did surprise me. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I was like, he may not.
So my number four is one of the all time greats. I'm guessing he's on your list as well. I am a huge fan of Chris Rock. He is probably your number one based on that look. Chris Rock is, to me, there's so many things about Chris Rock I love. One, as a stand-up comic, he is fucking amazing. Delivery, storytelling, social, societal commentary. He's a pretty good actor, actually. I mean, he's been in some you know, tough roles. I mean, obviously as Pookie in
New Jack City
and other stuff. I mean, mostly comedic roles. I love the movie
Cell Block 4.
I love the movie Top 5.
CB4.
The movie Top 5 is basically about him making movies he fucking hated and really loving doing stand-up and falling back into stand-up, and it had Rosario Dawson, so that never hurts. Mm-mm. But I think I saw Chris Rock live when the first night I moved to Indianapolis, I was across from the theater that was showing Chris Rock. And I scalped a ticket, and not to be inappropriate, but I scalped a ticket from a white guy to go see a black guy do comedy. I thought that was kind of interesting. Okay. All right, that's weird. But seeing him live, here was the great thing about this. I saw him live in Indianapolis and did not laugh out loud once because I was so fucking mesmerized. I'm watching this guy do his thing where he walks across the stage. His segues were so amazing. I was just amazed to the point where I was amused, I was entertained, but I didn't laugh. I watched the same show. It was like on his tour before he did an HBO show. I watched the same show on HBO and laughed my ass off. But I was so mesmerized watching a guy who I thought was a phenomenal comic in person. It was the first really big show I ever watched. But just watching him transition and handle the crowd and do it so well, I was so amazed and enthralled that I didn't even...
You couldn't laugh.
I was like paralyzed. Wow, exactly. Yep. So if he's on your list, I apologize. I think we're gonna have at least two overlaps.
My number three is Bill Cosby.
Ooh, well, Bill Cosby is a great stand-up comic. No doubt about it.
Bill Cosby's stand-up. I mean, you know, obviously,
or sit down.
Right. I mean, he hasn't done it. I mean, I think he did something
recently. Actually, he went back to it.
But, I mean, and everything else aside, and I'm one of those people, I can separate
the art from the artist.
The artist from the asshole or whatever it may be. You know, his stand-up from, you know, the 60s and the 70s, it still resonates. It makes me laugh very hard every time I see it, I listen to it. And what's funny is that you listen to a lot of those stories, and those were literally episodes of The Cosby Show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, which is just like...
If you look at him all around as an entertainer, from Fat Albert to Cosby Show, stand-up, he was one of the most influential...
And the pencil. What was the one with the pencil? from Nickelodeon?
I was talking about, you were too old. I know what
he did. Well, I mean, you were a young like teenager when that was happening. I was a child mesmerized by a fucking talking pen. So.
Oh, then maybe we're not talking about the same thing.
No, we are.
Okay.
Probably are. I can't remember the name of it now, and I'm sure there are people screaming right now at their phones. It's such and such. I can't remember. Okay. But yeah, he had this little pen where he'd make a noise. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
No, he was... It's tragic how the story ends.
It has nothing to do with this, though.
No.
Honestly, I mean,
it's very separate. Right.
It's very separate. And just him as a comic listening to his stand-up.
And he was mostly a clean comic.
Very clean.
So I'm not a big fan of clean comedy.
If he did curse...
It was very little.
It was kind of like...
His best joke was...
Damn it.
Cocaine intensifies your personality. Well, that's great, but what if you're an asshole?
Right.
That's from Bill Cosby himself. But that's probably as vulgar as he got.
Right, exactly. And it was fine. And there's a lot of people who followed that path. You know, I mean, like Sinbad was one of them who... You know, Sinbad was a guy who followed in the steps of Bill Cosby and ultimately ended up on... A Different World, which was, you know, a spinoff of The Cosby Show. And Sinbad had a couple comedy specials that were also hilarious. I'm not going to leave him off the list because of everything that's going on now. And I have to be honest, just he's one of those first comics that my dad said, oh, you like comedy? Then this is what you need to listen to. You know, when I thought Eddie Murphy was the funniest person on the planet, and then it's just like, you're this Bill Cosby guy, and you're like, wow, right? I mean, like, this is amazing, and he's not telling me to go fuck myself.
Right. So, are you ready for me to go my next?
Yes.
So kind of in the same vein. When I started to try to whittle out my list, I had like 25 names on there, and it was really tough because you know how passionate I am about comedy. And so social impact and impact on my way of thinking played a huge role in who I chose. And just, I mean, obviously I had to like their stuff.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Is this George Carlin?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but if you got another guess, all right. So if I give you the clues, people that I have gravitated to.
Just tell me.
Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan
is definitely going to be my second.
Okay. Joe Rogan, as a stand-up comic, is fucking awesome.
He is very funny.
He's super high energy, mm-hmm. and he's funny, and I love his podcast. We've talked about that, and I think he's just a really interesting guy. I like his intellectual, his intellectual honesty and his intellectual curiosity without really drawing a line for I'm on this side. I love that. As a stand-up comic, though, he has made me just tear up laughing.
One of his funniest jokes to me is, and I actually watch a fair amount of comedy. I do. I give you a hard time just because I'm an asshole. But one of his funniest jokes is, you know, if you're homophobic or you hate gays, it's either because, what did he say? It's either because you're an asshole or you think dicks are delicious.
Yes. He does that bit. or I think it's you're terrified that dicks are delicious.
Right, you're terrified that dicks are delicious. He's and like his delivery on it is like, oh my God. What in the fuck just happened?
he's got so many. He does a bit about what aliens would think if they came down and saw us watching football. We're like, we were going to kill you before you got to this, but now. And he doesn't. Another one. This is just a social commentary thing, but he has one thing. He says, marijuana can kill you. If someone throws a 25-pound bag of marijuana out of a CIA drug plane and it hits you in the head after falling 30,000 feet, it can kill you. Other than that, marijuana can't kill you. And, I mean, if I tried to put all of his bits together, but I love his high-energy stuff. He handles hecklers really well, too.
Oh, he's great.
I hate hecklers.
Yeah.
And
he gives no fucks.
there was one guy who was like, the guy's heckling, yelling shit out. He was like, dude, the whole time you've been looking at my dick. You're looking at my dick. I'm not. And then anyway, he also goes like, you're wearing the stupidest shirt ever. My shirt's stupid. It's silly. I know. I bought it for $5 at a Walgreens 2 minutes before I came here. You thought about that and thought, I'm putting that on. It's cool. And so anyway,
my people thing
crushing
with him,
hecklers, I love.
He, so there's a comic, Carlos Mencia, who had a show on.
Yes.
Comedy Central, and
that's Carlos, another reason I love Joe Rogan.
Carlos Mencia basically disappeared from the comedy scene and was accused of stealing jokes. Now, I for the longest time, I thought, man, that's kind of shitty. Like, why are they attacking this guy? I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
Right. And I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt when they get attacked, right? Because I hate bullies and all that other shit.
Right.
And so it's just like, why are they fucking picking on this guy, right? And so then I was looking, full disclosure, I was looking for something from Joe Rogan because I wanted to use it to make fun of you. I swear to God, this is in the last
I don't doubt this for 18
second. Months. I was looking for, I can't remember what it was. I think I was looking for like a video of Joe Rogan working out. Like doing his MMA workout, right? And I wanted to like present it to you, like, and then
I can't use this age as an excuse because this guy's older than you and he can kick your ass.
And so it was like a year ago, and Joe Rogan is one of, like the comic who kind of exposed Carlos Mencia for being a joke stealer.
He didn't expose him. He called him out on stage and blew it up at the comedy store. Yeah.
At the Comedy Store, which is a huge venue out in LA, huge venue in terms of popularity.
Oh, exactly.
Not necessarily because of size, but he calls him out on stage, and then like there's a video kind of like documentary of him like going through like these are the jokes that he stole. Listen to this comic, and then listen to Carlos Mencia, and then he actually confronts Carlos Mencia at the Comedy Store, and it's just like, you steal fucking jokes. Like, you stole this joke. You stole this joke. And he makes it awkward for other people because they're like, oh, man,
You want to know the whole story behind that? Or do you know the whole story behind that?
Well, I mean, after watching... I mean, well, literally,
how it happens is he introduced, so they were in a setup where they were just doing like 10-minute sets each. And the next guy after him was a writer for Mencia's show. Now, Mencia being a joke thief was well known. Our buddy Dean Zarbaugh, who used to work out in L.A., said that when he was a comic out in L.A., everyone knew Mencia's here. You don't know, do watch your don't do your best stuff. He'll steal your shit. He said that on our old show. So Rogan does his set, and there was no host, so you have to bring up the next guy. Well, he introduced the next guy as the guy from the Mind of Menstelia. Well, Carlos Mencia was there. He comes up, and that's when that battle starts.
That's in that back and
forth.
But
also, he had stolen jokes from Ari Shaffir, who is a really good friend of Joe Rogan. So it was not even I get what you're saying. Like, it felt like a bullying moment, but it was actually Shaffir was getting robbed, and Rogan was standing up for his friend. I get what you're saying.
I wasn't calling Rogan. Like, there were so many people saying it that it was well known. I mean, like, there were people. I mean, at the time, at its height, I mean, I was in Chicago, and there were people at what's the place in Chicago? The big place.
The Improv.
No. There's a place. Second City.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There were because I, you know, work in the bar scene in Chicago when I was there. I dealt with a lot of comics there, and there were a lot of people who like. I remember the one night, my one buddy Chia, he was he worked with me at the bar. A few people that he had known from the comedy scene had come up, and I forget how it came up, but they all were just railing on Carlos Mencia and how he literally just stole jokes from people. Like he would sit and in the back, listen, and then write down, and then like not
and,
like
and he had a show,
right?
So he could put it on Comedy Central,
and like was saying people's jokes, and it was a thing. And then if you watch Carlos Mencia's show, which I did because it basically replaced,
I loved it.
It replaced the Chappelle show, and it was funny. But then when you realize, like, oh, all right, well, half those jokes were stolen. But then towards the end of his show, like, he would get real preachy about, you know, loyalty and protecting yourself and all that stuff. And you realize he's defending himself against these accusations of him stealing jokes. And you're like, and once I learned that, I'm like, oh man, that's shitty. They're just trying to tear this guy down because he's got his own show. And he's, you know, they're accusing him of trying to go over and above because he's trying to replace Chappelle. And then you're just like, oh, he actually was stealing jokes.
Yeah,
and he was.
Asshole. And stealing jokes is something, I mean, there's lots of times when there's gray areas, like, you know, if you tell a joke about something in the news, you know, as a comic, I've told a joke and then, or written down a joke and then gone and done an open mic and someone else is doing the same joke that I was going to do. I'm like, okay, can't do that one anymore.
Right, dead in the water.
I joked with Bill Squire once. I was out on that project in Frederick, Maryland, and I was going to an open mic there. And I just texted Bill and said, hey, you want to know how your Chipotle napkins joke is doing in Frederick? And he just replied, please don't do that. I'm like, Bill, I would never fucking do that. But I just felt like messing with him. But anyway, so
where was the open mic at?
Where? Please call me, fuck you. It's a place called Guido's, which I can't believe there's a bar called Guido's today. All right.
I knew that's what
I know. First thing I was like, is he being sincere? Oh, no. He knows exactly where it is. All right. So that was your number three?
Yeah, that was my number three. My number three was Bill Cosby. Yours was
about to be delivered.
Okay. And that was Joe Rogan.
It was Joe Rogan. I'm sorry. Yes, that's what we're talking about. Right. Yes.
So
yes.
My number two is Mr. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy is a comedy monster. Yep. One of the here's the truth about Eddie Murphy. A lot of his stuff today would get him in so much trouble.
Oh yes.
I mean, just the gay bashing.
The Bush
and the
bitch.
There's that.
Go get you a Bush bitch.
And well,
grab her by a bone in her nose.
How about? Oh my goodness, I forgot that one. But what about? I mean, the whole thing with I feel you faggots looking at my ass, and is Mr. T as a gay guy? I mean, he did so many things that today would get him destroyed. Having said that, he was great.
Raw. He was and delirious.
All of my white friends in suburban Buffalo gathered around a TV and laughed our asses off. And I mean, again, storytelling, great
delivery.
He was just such a mannerisms. Stage presence. I mean, phenomenal.
His like just voices and, you know, him Be, like, I mean, I guess Eddie Murphy at his best, I think, is encompassed in Coming to America, right? Because he plays, I don't know, probably four different characters.
Oh, I think it's more than that, yeah.
Right? I mean,
well, he plays the old Jewish guy at the end.
Right, I mean, it just, he...
What do you know from funny, huh? Where's the spoon?
Uh-huh. You beat Joe Louis's ass.
Joe Louis was 67 years old when he fought that fight.
You ain't never met no Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King Jr. walked up and shoved me down in the chest.
Yeah. But I just, Eddie, and like, actually, yeah, Coming to America, because that's just a movie, like, in, you know, at some point in time, we need to do our top five funniest movies.
Okay. We should do that.
And just that movie for me, like, and then going back and, you know, watching and listening to Delirious or Raw.
48 Hours, he's great. Great.
48 Hours, yes.
Beverly Hills Cop 1 is great, and it was great enough that you could string on 2, 3,
even
and 4.
Even The Golden Child.
Oh, I love that. Was on just the other day. I watched that movie. I mean, that movie is, ha! I got the knife! Now turn on the fucking lights! Actually, my favorite joke in that movie is not even one of the big ones. It's early in the movie already. He's chasing someone. He's got a gun drawn out, and he ends up interrupting a family having a barbecue. And he's like, "No, no, it's okay. I just want some chips." He has to go potato chips, and then runs away. But yeah, that movie is full of that movie is him being a comic in a not serious movie, right. But in an
not
action
serious
action
movie,
comedy.
Not actually a good movie, right?
Like, no, not even a good movie.
The only reason that movie is even worth watching is because of him.
Absolutely true.
Right? Because the story
and the old,
the
and the old gross
and the
guy
premise,
who wipes the booger on his shirt.
Right, but, like the story and the premise is stupid.
My dear brother Noomsie. Yes.
Sweet brother Noomsie.
They'll put this in a little file. I will do Golden Child joke. Again, you're right. It's not a good movie.
Right,
and yet
but it's
I
hilarious.
Fucking love it.
Hilarious.
Yes. No, Eddie Murphy is an all-time great. Shall I go to my number?
Yeah, go. Do it. Do it.
I got left. I've got the...
Who's your number two?
Dave Chappelle. Oh. Dave Chappelle.
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about him and me after this.
Okay.
And
I got to see him live in Cleveland last year, and it was an embarrassing moment for the city of Cleveland because people could not stop yelling shit out at, in my opinion, one of the best stand-up comics.
What were they yelling at?
Just random shit. And what was funny was, we get there and they said you can't have your phone out. If you do, we'll remove you. And
it's a
please,
big thing with him.
Yeah, well, in a lot of comics now because they don't want to get their stuff filmed or whatever. They don't want to get judged publicly for, you know, you say something and it gets taken out of context.
If
and,
it's not a special, then they're trying.
Well, right, they're trying material, the material absolutely. Right. And you know, you make a joke and suddenly it's, you know, you said this and this is whatever phobic. It's like, all right, just. They're comics. But the funniest thing that got yelled out was he was doing his stuff, and the first few people that yelled stuff out, he responded so quickly and so in stride, I thought they were part of the act. It seemed like, okay, they placed people here to say this at this time, and he's going to crush that. And then some idiot yells out, Finkel is Einhorn, a reference to Ace Ventura. And he literally looks through and goes, I have no idea what the fuck that means.
and then he
claims he was not.
Maybe he wasn't.
And he was smoking a cigarette the whole time.
Wait. I remember this is a big deal, right?
It was
because I think he made a joke about Cleveland in another city.
Well, what's funny,
shortly thereafter.
He comes to Detroit. He came from Detroit to Cleveland and he got the same shit in Detroit. And he came here talking about how much Detroit sucked because people couldn't shut the fuck up. And then people in Cleveland couldn't shut the fuck up. But having said that, Killing Him Softly, 1999.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know who he was at the time.
Sprinkle some crack on him.
I've seen this sort of thing before, Johnson.
He put pictures of himself all over the house.
So sprinkle some crack on him. Let's get out of here. Weren't you all a little suspicious? I mean, just, again, great storyteller, great joke teller. And like all the other fun, they've got things. They're great on stage, phenomenal on stage. And they're also diverse offstage. Dave Chappelle has been in a bunch of movies. I mean, he's Pinball in Con Air, which is not exactly, but he's
in Robin Hood, Men in Tights,
he's in, which also should not be proud of, but
which but he actually was funny in it.
Oh, he was.
Actually, I like Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
I didn't. I thought the movie reused every Mel Brooks joke ever.
It was a point.
Well, all right.
Mel Brooks is in it.
Yeah, well, Mel Brooks is in most of his movies, but I just. in terms of like making me laugh out loud, just fall over, he did it as a stand-up many, many times. And then the Chappelle Show was comic genius. I mean, he talks now about how after he, you know, first of all, he got called crazy because he went to Africa when he got into trouble with Comedy Central. And he basically just said, they tried to bully him. They paid him a bunch of money. And they said, basically, we're paying you all this money. You're going to do what we say. And he said, basically, and I'm not trying to like totally overinflate him as an artist, but as an artist, he said, I am not going to let you force what I put on the air down my throat. So you don't like it. You think you can push me around? Fine. I'm going to fly to a different continent. And once I'm on that continent, you try to tell me what to do. And,
and there's a lot too about, you know, things that he said after that, where his concern was it went from, are they laughing with you or at you? And as a black comic, you're telling jokes and you're dipping into race issues.
Yeah.
Has to be a concern, right? At what point does it become a minstrel show? And
a what?
A minstrel show?
Minstrel, I'll go.
And he took that serious, which I have to respect him for and appreciate, because that's something that some black entertainers don't necessarily take into account. You know, that's something that I don't think Flavor Flav ever really thought about. You know, that's something that, you know, I can go down the line of black entertainers who, you know, I don't know, you know, I could even go with, you know, Marlon Wayans and his brother.
Damon.
No, not Damon. Keenan.
Keenan Ivory Wayans.
No, not Keenan Ivory. I'm sorry. Whatever the brother.
Sean.
Yes. Sean and Marlon. Like, I wonder if they actually take that into account. You know, like,
but that's what drove him away, right?
That's what drove him. Like, are they laughing with me or are they laughing at me? And if they're laughing at me and I'm talking about these racial things, are they saying like, yeah, that's real life? Or they're just like, yeah, do it, nigger. And I think in that is, at least for me, is high.
I agree. And one other thing about him real quick is,
he's from Ohio.
He is. Well, he's from D.C. and New York.
The Virginia area.
No, he grew up in New York and D.C., but he lives in Yellow Springs, Ohio, a town I've actually been to.
But he... Wait, what?
He lives in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
I know
and
that.
And I've been there.
Why the fuck
Because I used to live in that... because I was chasing tail. Because I used to live in Mason,
this
Ohio.
This only gets more confusing. Why were you in Mason, Ohio?
I used to live there. I used to work in Mason. I used to work in Wilmington, Ohio. Mason was the nearest place that was civilized, so I lived there. I was trying to hang out with a girl who thought Yellow Springs was a cool town because it's really weird, hippie-ish kind of, you know. Makes anyway, sense. So she said, hey, I want to go here. There's this really cool store that does this. Do you want to go with me? I'm like, I guess I do. And then later I found out Dave Chappelle lived there. So I have been to Yellow Springs. It's a very, Antioch College is out there, which is like the most cultural. Me too. It makes... I had an asshole professor who went there, so I kind of hate it just because Antioch does not believe in giving grades because it stifles creativity, and that motherfucker didn't share the don't give grades mentality. He shared he gave lots of people bad grades. He didn't want to actually put effort into grading papers because he was stoned too fucking much. I can actually back that up, but it won't be good. It won't be good air.
Stop.
Yes.
You sound like bitter white guy.
I sound like when he was like, all right, best story about that guy. He showed up once on Halloween. He showed up wearing a jester's outfit, and we were all kind of talking, and he shows up wearing a jester's costume, and so the room got quiet right as my buddy said, I see we had RLSD today. So the whole room goes quiet, and Josh's remark just echoes through the room like, that's not going to help. But I think Dave Chappelle is phenomenal, and look at how long he's been in the game. And he's still breaking ground, right? His last two or three Netflix specials were something new. Now he's doing a tour with Jon Stewart, which I think is great. Jon Stewart is a guy who I would love to put on my list, but I didn't because they're just, like I said, my list got too big.
By limiting it to five, and I'll explain to you, once we get through number one, I'll explain to you my five and four.
All right, let's go. Let's get your number one.
My number one is Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor probably paved the way for almost everyone either of us have talked about tonight.
Yep. I'll throw this out there. One, again, unbelievable storyteller.
Yes.
And he just, the things he talked about, like, so he was an addict. He had issues and problems. But he put it all out there in a way, like, it took me, like, for a while, you're just like, wait, so your crack addiction literally made you set yourself on fire? And then you ran around, and then you were still trying to smoke more crack? And the way he tells it, it's hilarious. But when you sit down and think about it, you're like, oh, my God, like, how fucked are you? And you realize he was an incredibly flawed human being. And then there were some things that were even more sketchy that had come out about him. The Marlon Brando thing? Yeah. You know, Quincy Jones, like, Jesus, Q. Which that's a story that I wrote about at whiskeycongress.com because it was so ridiculous.
Yes, that was actually one of my favorite, one of your...
go
you had to go to the archives a bit. But
yeah, just go to our site and go to search and type in Quincy Jones and it'll come up. It's the first and only thing that comes up. but
I don't know that's true. I might have written something about Quincy Jones too, but...
Okay, maybe, but right, either way,
one of two, one or two.
Find it. Find the one written by me. Steve. So he was incredible. You know, Richard Pryor was an incredibly flawed human being who laid it all out there in his stand-up, how flawed he was. And he takes you along this story that says, hey, it's okay, it's fine, it's hilarious. You can laugh at me and I can take it. And, you know, I started listening to Richard Pryor when I was young, so I didn't get it. And then as I was older, it was still funny, but then I got it, which made me sad. But then I went back and I'm like, ah, damn it, it's sad, but it's still so goddamn funny. And I think, again, because the fact that he paved the way for Eddie Murphy and Dave Chappelle and all these guys, and the fact that even Eddie Murphy in his stand-up says, you know, Bill Cosby is giving me shit because I'm using too many curse words. And Richard Pryor, I called Richard Pryor and he's like, you tell Bill, I said, fuck him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's just like, that's just how great that he was. And, he everything that kind of happened to him towards the end, I think Parkinson's and then him, you know, dying a relatively early death. But even him in movies, him and Gene Wilder.
Oh, they did a bunch of movies together.
They were a comic duo.
They were crazy. And,
you know, Brewster's Millions.
He wasn't in
Gene Wilder was not
John Candy
Brewster's,
was in Brewster's.
Right. But, I mean,
The
it
Toy.
Just, yeah.
I'll talk about a movie that hit a lot of racial. Try making that. But. Then again, the main character played by Jackie Gleason was something Bates, a.k.a. Master Bates. Master Bates. Don't
I love masturbation jokes.
All right.
So anyway, but Richard Pryor is my number one. And so let's go.
Absolutely worthy of that title. I did not go with Richard Pryor and George Carlin are really the two most influential stand-up comics ever, in my opinion, because that art form, it was around before them, but it was really evolving when they came out. And they
refined it.
Yes, they did. And so many people saw them and got into it because of them. So you ready for my number one?
Yes.
Louis C.K. Louis C.K. to me is the funniest human being on the planet today.
Okay.
Louis C.K.
And I like Louis C.K. a lot.
He is, again, separating the art from the artist. Well, first of all, what he was accused of is gross, but it's not.
It's really bad.
It's really bad, Jim. We're not going to go down that road.
It's really bad. Like, okay, you can't
it's not Bill Cosby.
Whip your dick out.
It's not.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Okay. C.K., Louis. Or Matt Lauer locking bitches in his office to whip his dick out.
Okay.
Like, you can't just whip your dick. Like,
no, but
not,
if you ask,
okay.
If you say, can I do this? And people are like, yeah, I guess so. Anyway, it's gross. I don't want to go down this road because it'll just go down that road. As far as comics go, there is nobody who's ever made me laugh as hard as him while being ashamed of myself for laughing at it. He is so funny.
I agree.
He is a brilliant comic. And he pushes limits all the time. And again, my list of people I thought about was, I mean, if I go through it now, I'm even adding to it as I'm thinking. I love stand-up comedy so much. But Louis C.K. to me is one of the most refined comics I've ever seen. And I guess I'm probably even more drawn to his comedy because I, because of YouTube, got to see him perform at age like 18. And I watched him do jokes at 18. And I got to watch some of his jokes evolve from what they were in New York City comedy clubs to what they became on HBO specials. And I didn't know who he was until probably about 2008. I saw his, he did a show called, he did a special on HBO called Shameless. And I literally turned it on, no idea who this dude is, and he's telling jokes, and I am literally disgusted at myself for laughing as uncontrollably as I was at the jokes he was telling.
Well, one of the jokes he tells, and he told, this joke came long before my daughters were born. But
daughter.
My daughter, because yeah. He's got two daughters.
Yes, he does.
But he tells this joke about his daughters, and he says, the long and short of it is, he says, like, literally sometimes, like, my daughters are 5 and 7 or however his kids were at the time, and he says, they're just cunty.
Like, I think I know what you're finished with, yes.
They're just cunty, right? Which I thought was funny. I'm like, but that's kind of inappropriate. They're about right, daughters, right, right. And you never use that word, and, you know, it's the biggest four-letter word you can't use around women. And then I have a daughter, right? And then I have this little exact replica of myself who's smart and funny and strong and strong-willed and just decides that she don't want to listen to daddy and she's just gonna look right through me and ignore me and go the other way and do the exact opposite of what I tell her. And you've dealt with her and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every time, like, she's just an asshole to me, I go back to Louis C.K. and I'm like,
well, he does that bit about how my daughter's an asshole. I mean, like, if an adult, if you couldn't go out to dinner with a bunch of adults because one of them wouldn't put their shoes on, that person's an asshole. Like, come on, Joe, put your shoes on. I don't want to put my shoes on. That great jokes.
But that's, I mean, and that, so I agree with you. He is in, I guess, so with my list.
Okay.
I left off, like, I didn't have Dave Chappelle on my list or Chris Tucker or
Chris Rock.
Chris Tucker was one that I debated for a long time because early Chris Tucker on Def Comedy Jam is so fucking funny, which I feel like you probably didn't watch a lot of Def Comedy Jam.
A little bit, not a lot.
But I mean, which is where we got guys like Bernie Mac and Chris Tucker and, you know, it just... Bernie Mac is another one that I mean, Bernie Mac on Kings of Comedy.
Oh, yeah.
I shot Tanqueray gin out of my nose. We were watching that in the dorms in Kennedy, the Kennedy Tower on the Southwest campus at UMass Amherst. We're watching it on DVD, and he started talking about the milk and cookies with the little, you know, the younger gay kid, and just his, that whole dialogue. He said one line, and I was drinking Tanqueray straight, but I was.
There's really no good reason to do that.
Well, I think I was out of tonic. Like, I was the only one drinking Tanqueray, and I had a pint, and I was drinking it with, like, a little... mini bottle of tonic from Canadian Club or whatever, whoever makes the Canadian
Canada Dry.
And he was telling that joke, and I had taken a shot, and then he tells the joke, and I laugh. And firing gin out of your nose
is not pleasant.
It's incredibly painful. It's just like
I've done that with vodka once, and gin's worse
because, I mean, especially Tanqueray. Remember, Tanqueray, it runs about, I think, 46, 48 proof.
Both of them suck. I can only imagine that Tanger is worse.
Right, and just that just firing pine needles through your nose.
there's that too.
Never awesome. So, anyway, the reason I went with Burt Kreischer and Russell Peters is that I've paid money to see them both multiple times.
Oh, really?
Right. I've seen Burt Kreischer 4 times, and of the 4, he did the same material twice. And
you still laugh.
I laughed just as hard, right? Like, oh, you've done all this shit before. But he made it better each time. And so, you know, and with Russell Peters, it was worth it for me to go see him. And he, all 4 times, they were all different and they were all great. And so I had to take into account, like, all right, like, you know, you've paid money to see these guys multiple times. Like, so that's got to be worth something.
Now, I've paid money to see Bill Maher 3 times, and he did not get onto my list and, frankly, didn't even get that close.
And he shouldn't.
And he shouldn't. No, I mean, look, I like Bill Maher. He's a good comic, but he's not. What's that?
I mean, he's okay.
He's a good comic, but he's not at the level the guys were talking about.
You know what? And even before his show, I wasn't. You know, he's always had that sort of kind of
smug elitist.
Yeah, yes. And that's never played well with me.
I get it.
You know, it's never played well.
I enjoy him. I love his show.
Can we talk about him? Just
sure.
Kind of
we're at 50 minutes. We can wrap up on Bill Maher bash.
We're gonna talk about him. It's not a bash, but he made a statement that, you know, if you want to see Trump, if you want Trump out of office, then you need to root for the economy to tank, because if the economy tanks, then Democrats can hang their hat on that, and we can, you know, basically elect him out or vote him out of office. And to me, that is
counterproductive.
Exactly. Like, so we want the country to. So what you're saying is, you're so American that you're rooting against the president and you're rooting against America, basically just to make yourself feel better because you don't like the guy in office, which is no different than what Donald Trump was doing, you know, saying, you know, with the whole birther thing and the conservatives and mostly
Mitch McConnell, right, said, and our number one goal is to make Obama a one-term president. Okay, then you're saying let's fuck the country to get our political agenda through.
Right.
Whether it's left or right, it's completely disgusting to me.
And that, to me, the whole cut your nose off to spite your face.
Right, I didn't hear him say that, but that's disgusting.
That to me is just, and that to me embodies Bill Maher. And oh, by the way, how much is Bill Maher worth? Even if the economy tanks, what does he stand to lose?
Well, he was rich enough to give $1 million to the second Obama campaign.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. So I've seen things where he's worth anywhere between 50 and 100 million.
That's probably about right.
But either way, you know, even if we have another recession like we did back in 2008.
When people say the economy tanks, we're talking about the Dow crashing, and we're talking about unemployment going up.
Right.
Unemployment going up affects normal people.
Right.
The Dow crashing doesn't affect...
Now, there were people in 2008, there were people who, with legitimate money, who lost legitimate money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, I think I saw Michael Douglas. I think Michael Douglas lost 50% of his net worth when everything happened. Now, that left him at still a 10-time multimillionaire over and over again.
It's still banging Catherine Zeta-Jones.
He had to sell the G6 and go down to a G5.
Which is tragic.
I still want to own a plane.
Yeah, Jim. We need to crank this bitch up. We have discussed this on multiple episodes.
Oh my god! Yeah. Every 2 weeks now, I'm at a point where I just look at private jets.
All right, so you want to own a plane? You want to own a boat?
A boat is realistic and reasonable for me.
I mean, I've owned 2 boats,
right? Like, I mean, a plane is not right now.
No.
Do you know how rich you need to be to own a fucking plane? To own a plane.
Richer than us, yes. No, I told you, I worked for a dude in Florida who, he owned a plane. He had a professional pilot that he, I don't know exactly what the arrangement was, but.
Were there hand jobs involved? I don't know.
No, just, I don't know if he was full time.
Oh.
No, just, this guy had a plane. I've talked about this on other shows. He had a plane and it was like a 6-seater. I told you, I sat in the co-pilot seat once.
Right.
And
Because
it was awesome. I was on the co-pilot seat.
Yeah, fuck a co-pilot. I am trying to be bathed in riches and
well, you want hot stone massages while getting served champagne. That's
whiskey,
the entourage.
But yes.
Okay. I was either going to sit with my coworkers looking at each other talking about the machine we were about to review or sit in the co-pilot seat.
Let's be honest, though.
Yes.
You know what I would do on a private plane?
I'm afraid of what I'm about to hear. No, I don't. What would you want?
I would sleep. Because I am so bad on planes. I'm not a great sleeper, but for whatever reason, you get me on a plane, the hum of those engines.
I'm so jealous of that. I wish I could sleep on a plane so much. Oh,
and
God.
Even if it's hot on a plane, if I get a little hint of air, I'm out. And it doesn't matter how well rested I am or how hyped up I am. Like going to Vegas. Like going to Vegas, of the 5 hours here to there,
I'm so jealous, so angry.
3.5 of the hours.
I flew to India. I flew from Buffalo to JFK, JFK to Paris, Paris to Bangalore, India, and slept zero.
How long is that flight? Total, how much time did you spend in the air?
16 hours.
I could tell you the 16, I probably would have slept 12.
I wish I could.
Like I bust out my tablet.
I tried so hard.
I bust out my tablet. Like I'm gonna watch this and this, or I'm gonna bust out the computer. I'm gonna do all this work, and then I end up like face first, like in the keyboard, or like the tablet ends up like in the person sitting next to me, their lap.
I'm just putting myself in the position of the person sitting next to you that has you awful. Flop over. I'm like, terrible. Okay.
I do a pretty good job of not coming down on the person.
I'm sure that's appreciated.
I'm conscious of my body. And that's why I always get a window seat. Because
you can lean that way.
I can lean towards the window and the wall and I'm good. Which is why you'll never see me get a seat. Like one time I got the aisle seat and I kept getting banged with the cart because like my head and foot had drifted out to the right. And they were trying to avoid me, but they would hit me with the cart first, which would hit my head. And they would move my head and then go back. And then coming back, bam, they would hit me again. So I don't do the aisle. I always make sure I get the window seat. And which is a big reason why I fly Southwest, because it's no big deal. Like I just get right in there.
All right. We should wrap this up. I've had fun. This was fun. I was afraid that you would not enjoy the comedy stuff. I thought your list was awesome.
I give you a hard time about comedy just because it's fun for me. But I really do enjoy comedy.
I know. And truthfully, I know your real stance. Your real stance is, you can't hide behind comedy. You can't just be a douchebag and then say, oh, but I'm being funny, if you're not being funny. So I know where you really stand.
And there's a fair amount of...
And I accuse you of hating comics, and I know you really don't.
And there's a fair amount of people who call themselves stand-up comics, who that's what they do. They hide behind comedy.
They're at my level, and they'll say, this was awful shit. You're like, I'm a comic. Well,
it's not funny. You're not pushing the envelope. You're just being an asshole. So
I get it.
And that's where I try to balance the line and filter. And then some of the people, if I haven't seen them, but their personalities come off kind of shitty, then it's hard for me to say, I don't know.
Or even when they try to use it like, I'm having a private conversation with you, but because I do stand-up comedy, I can get away with like, no, if you're sitting at a bar eating a burger, you're a dude at a bar eating a burger. I had a conversation with a guy once who I was at the sports bar that we've watched multiple football games at together in Lakewood, and this guy is telling me, I was accepted to film school, so let me tell you this about Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, you were accepted to film school.
Hmm?
Yeah, this is... I'm like, you didn't go to film school.
That's like saying I was accepted to medical school.
Exactly.
I didn't go.
So let me tell you about heart surgery. Let me perform a surgery on you. I'm like, no, you didn't go. All right. On that note, man, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this a lot.
Jim, I was accepted to law school. Let me defend you.
No, you have to go to law. Oh, no, you did actually go to law school.
Thank you.
Okay. And I would let you defend. Well...
You should.
I would, except unless I thought you were pissed at me.
No. Because remember, I do like to win. I'm big on winning.
Good point.
I'm big on winning. I'm not going to let you down just to be an asshole. Not that way. You know, in a water balloon fight or some
then
stupid shit.
I would not trust you for a second. Right. All right. Steven, enjoy this very much. We need to do more shows like this. I think it's fun to get away from the politics and the shit of the day and just talk about fun stuff. All right.
And we slid a little bit of it in there.
Yeah, we did a little bit. Yes, we did.
Louis C.K.
And we drank some Elijah Craig whiskey and
here's my closing note.
Yes, sir.
And I'll shut up. You can't pull your dick out no matter if you ask or what.
If the answer is yes, you can.
No. Not at work. That was the problem.
It was not at work. It was in their apartment.
But they worked for him. Okay, they worked under him in some capacity, right? He's the star of the show, and they were underlings.
Oh no!
Two of the three were underlings. The one was an executive producer or whatever the fuck. She
I don't
was.
Think they was on. All right,
they worked what? For the show. You can't.
There
pull
was
your
no
dick
show.
Out.
He was a stand-up comic. They were doing comedy routines. There, he
can't
did
pull
not
your
have
dick
show.
Out.
All right.
You can't pull your
and,
dick
and
out.
The, and the don't pull your dick out is the.
I mean, unless you're on a date and she's doing a striptease, you
then,
can't
then,
pull your
then
dick
you're
out.
You're required to. I'll need to get.
Do
more
we need to work on
I,
this?
No, I've never done this, nor will
do we need
I start.
To do we need to do a drill?
No, we
I'll
don't,
get a blow
no,
up doll.
No, we don't. All
right, right. And then well, when you got to whip your dick
I, you
out,
know what?
I'm gonna
I am done with you.
Slap
I was,
you with a yardstick.
I was enjoying this so much, and now I am fucking done with you, Elijah Craig Whiskey. The Blueberry Braggot Honey Ale brewed with blueberries.
That's Braggot.
Braggot. I said Braggot.
That's Braggot. It's not English for a cigarette. It's Braggot. All
right. Anyway, and I've just thought about a couple great Louis C.K. jokes, but I'm not going to tell them because he did it already. Thanks a lot. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. Email Jim or Steve. Jim at Whiskey Congress. Steve at Whiskey Congress. Hope you enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun. And
let's end the show.
Yes, sir. We are done.